Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
With Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, ha-ha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio.
Also, my podcasts are free of ads, so you can enjoy the programs commercial-free. If you would like to donate a few dollars to help me cover the cost of creating these weekly posts, you can donate to my channel. On the bottom of each post, there is a donation link in your preferred podcast player. Anything you donate is extremely helpful and appreciated.
This week on Comedy Funny Haha, we have Fibber McGee and Molly. Two episodes for Mr. McGee and Mrs. Molly, or Ms. Molly. I don't know if she's a Miss or a Ms. Miss or Mrs. I believe they were married, so I guess she's a Mrs. Molly wants a budget. The 201st episode, April 18th, 1939. And then Expecting Parrot and Mall and Mail. I'm sorry. Expecting Parrot and Mail. Like, you know, postal mail, not mail as in gender, but Expecting Parrot and Mail. M-A-I-L. May 23rd, 1939.
The Johnson Wax Program. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly.
My, it's nice to be back.
Well, it's nice to have you back, Molly.
Well, what are you waiting for, Mr. Wilcox? I want to go to work.
All right, Molly. We also have Donald Novus, the Four Notes, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Fine and Dandy. A sure way to banish your spring cleaning blues. Let Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat put a grand shine on your floors and linoleum without any rubbing or buffing. There's no work to it at all, you know. You just pour the glow coat onto the clean floor, spread it around with a cloth or the long-handled applier, and in 20 minutes it dries to a beautiful glowing finish. Now, there's a special sale at your dealers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat right now. You can get both the regular wax and glow coat in giant size cans. When you buy a pound, you get a pound and one third. When you buy a pint, you get a pint and one third. Now, this sale is for a limited time only. So if you want to get one third more for the regular price, we suggest that you phone your dealer the first thing tomorrow morning or go to the store and ask for Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat in the special money-saving giant size cans. By now, Molly is home again. And after looking over the household bills accumulated during her absence, she's a trifle flabbergasted. And here in the living room at 79 Westville Vista, we find the defendant and the plaintiff in the case of income versus outgo, Fibber McGee and Molly.
McGee, look at this milk bill. What on earth have you been doing, sprinkling the lawn with it?
That is a little high, ain't it? What say we get a cow?
Why, who'd milk it?
Oh, you gotta milk them?
No, you just leave some empty bottles around the barn and then go out in the morning and rob the cow's nest. You have to milk them. And how about this electric light bill?
Oh, is that high, too?
Is it high? Well, look at it. Looks like the annual report of the TVA.
Well, I was up late a couple of nights reading. You don't want me to be ignorant on current events, do you?
No, but what events have been worth this much current? Now, look here, dearie. Answer the door.
Okay.
Insurance man, 45 cents, please.
45 cents for insurance? McGee, what is this? Plate glass insurance on your Diamond Lodge pin?
Now, listen, Molly, I took this out while you was gone. It's great stuff. You see, for only 45 cents a week, you get a complete coverage on being struck by lightning, being lost at sea, and tell her the other features, Bud.
Oh, yes, do.
Well, madam, this policy also covers you against capture by Chinese bandits, accidental injury from harpoons, submarine collisions, runaway camels, falling pyramids, stratosphere sickness, and double indemnity for being bitten by a Mediterranean fruit fly.
Imagine that, Molly, all for 45 cents. I wanted a clause in there to cover us against being knocked out by the Sunday paper, but that would have been another 10 cents a week.
Well, oh, that's wonderful. Does it protect us against getting our fingers pinched in the encyclopedia?
No, madam, that would require a physical examination.
Shall I give him the 45 cents, Molly?
Sure, give it to him. Then run out and round up a couple of Mediterranean fruit flies. Hungry ones, mind you.
Here you are, bud. 45 cents.
Oh, thanks. You'll never regret this, folks. Why, just last week, one of our policyholders, a bellboy, collected $9.32 for getting his left ear caught in a keyhole.
Well, I suppose if there'd have been twin beds in the room, we'd have got double indemnity. Well, good day to you, sir.
You don't think I was wrong taking out that policy, do you, Molly?
Oh, no, McGee. It was a lovely stroke of business. In fact, we can put in a claim right away.
Huh? Claim? On what?
Capture by Chinese bandits.
Huh?
Look at this laundry bin.
Oh, I don't think that'd work, Molly. My shirts couldn't stand a physical examination. They'd flunk the butt analysis. Don't you get it, Molly? I said they'd flunk.
That ain't funny, McGee.
Oh.
But now let's get down to business. We've got to work out a budget. I'd keep the books.
Swell. I'll run downtown and get a set of books and a sample budget. Shouldn't cost more than $2.
I'll answer, dearie.
Okay.
79 Wistful Vista, Molly McGee speaking. To whom am I speaking with, please? Who? Mert who?
Oh, that's Mert, the telephone operator, Molly. I'll talk to her.
Oh, no, you won't.
Huh?
What was it you wanted, please? Mr. McGee is busy right now.
Oh, I am not.
He is, too. I mean, what? Oh, you'll call him later on. All right, dearie. Goodbye.
Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home.
McGee.
Huh?
Who's Mert?
Mert, oh, she's just a telephone operator. I never met her. Just talked to her on the phone. Just kidded with her and stuff like that there.
I see.
Honest, Molly, don't you believe me? Wait a minute. Folks, them of you who've listened to our other shows, will you please write and tell Molly that I ain't ever seen this Mert? Tell her that I never had it.
All right, McGee, let it go. I believe you.
Okay.
But now, speaking of operators, look at this telephone bill.
Huh?
$34. Can't Europe settle its own problems? Did you have to call them up and give them advice?
What you mean, Molly?
Why, we've got to cut down on using the telephone.
Okay, let's have it taken out. I'll build a little coop up on the roof and we can use carrier pigeons.
You think their cooing would help our billing? you was always one to go to extremes. Now, you run down and get some bookkeeping ledgers.
Okay, I'll call a couple of taxicabs right away.
A couple of taxicabs?
Sure, I gotta come back, ain't I?
Sometimes I doubt the necessity. You'll take the streetcar.
Okay, but that's false economy, Molly. It's a waste of time, and time is money.
Go on, now, it'll do you good to ride the streetcar and rub shoulders with the common people.
I guess you ain't rode on the streetcar lately, Molly. It ain't your shoulders that gets rubbed. I'll be back in a little while, and then we can start.
Hello, Fibber. Hello, Molly.
Oh, hi, Billy.
Hello, Mr. Mills.
How would you like to hear Don Nova sing, "You're the Only One for Me"?
Oh, that would be nice. Isn't that the Irish number he has sung with Ronald Coleman in Bulldog Drummond?
Yes, it is.
Oh, Bulldog Drummond, eh? Well, take off his muzzle, Billy, and let him howl. I gotta run downtown and buy some bookkeeping stuff.
Well, trot along, McGee. What are you waiting for?
Ain't you going to kiss me goodbye?
Oh, of course, dearie.
Goodbye.
Oh, are you leaving too, Billy?
No, he ain't. He's got to stay and play for Don. Go ahead, fellas. You're the one for me.
I am a plain-spoken fella, no flowery language is mine. A little uncouth, and to tell you the truth, poetry's not in me line. Still, let me try with a song to tell you what happened when you came along. I saw your smile as I passed you by, and I said to myself, says I, there's the one, the only one for me. I caught a glimpse of a roguish eye, and I said to myself, says I, there's the one, the only one for me. Ah, poet might speak of the blush in your cheek as the bloom of a rose newly born. Your voice, the refrain of a song of the rain in the light of a bright April morn. I saw an angel from out the sky, and I said to myself, says I, there's the one, the only one for me. I'll not pretend you're the first one. I've courted a lassie or two. I've trifled a bit, and quite frankly admit, I have kissed more than a few. I may have fibbed in me youth, but this time, believe me, I'm telling the truth. I saw your smile as I passed you by, and I said to myself, says I, there's the one, the only one for me. I caught a glimpse of a roguish eye, and I said to myself, says I, there's the one, the only one for me. Ah, poet might speak of the blush in your cheek as the bloom of a rose newly born. Your voice, the refrain of a song of the rain in the light of a bright April morn. I saw an angel from out the sky, and I said to myself, says I, there's the one, the only.
Standing on your foot?
I don't know, mister. Jump up and down once.
Okay.
Ow! Yeah, that's my foot. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hey there, Johnny. Did I collect your fare?
Oh, are you the conductor, old-timer? I ride for half fare, you know.
Hey?
I says I ride for half fare. This is a broadcast, and radio is still in its infancy.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't it. Hey, step four in the car, please. How was I saying, Johnny? Oh, yes. That ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it.
Excuse me, conductor. May I please have a transfer?
You won't need none, daughter. Just tell the other conductor that Joe sent you. Hey? Oh. The way I heard it, Johnny. One feller says to the other feller, see, says, this Joe Lewis does a lot of fighting, don't he? Yep, says t'other feller. He must get pretty tired of it. Why shouldn't he, says the first feller. To him, life is just one round of fighting. Now, well, let's you and me go to the next Lewis fight, Johnny, if you can spare a couple of minutes.
Okay, old-timer, but I never seen anybody so intoxicated with prize fighting as you. You're practically punch drunk right now. Hey, here's where I get off, old-timer.
Okay, Johnny. Let the young fellow through here, folks. One try.
Whew. Should have been born rich. To me, a streetcar ride is just a mob scene parted in the middle. Well, what's the joke, bud?
Oh, nothing much. I'm an artist.
Oh, you are, eh? One of your brushes tickling you?
No, I'm a modern artist. I paint those screwy-looking things, you know. They don't make any sense.
I know, but what's funny about that?
I just had an exhibition. And somebody bought one of them, the darn fool.
Well, I've always wondered which got framed the worst, the picture or the buyer. See, now, where'd be the best place to get a set of budget books?
Oh, hello there, Fibber. Where are you bound?
I'm looking for a bookstore or a stationery store, Harpo. Our bills have been too high, and I got to get some books and make out a budget.
Oh, say, that's a fine idea. I have a budget myself.
Oh, you have? You got it with you?
Sure, right here. Take a look at it.
Oh, that's very interesting. What's this item here? Entertainment, 20 cents. Gee, that must have been quite a fling.
Well, it was. The 20 cents was for carfare out to the Better Housekeeping Institute.
Oh, so that's your idea of entertainment, the Better Housekeeping Institute. Is that the only toot you could think of?
Listen, I have a swell time out there.
Here it comes, folks.
Whenever I show them how easy it is to use Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, and particularly how they can save money right now by stocking up with those special giant-sized cans with the extra third free, why, nothing's too good for me. Why, they make me fudge or Panucci or taffy apple or something. You can see how much that saves on meals in my budget.
Yeah, that's great. Why didn't you hide in the oven till morning so you could get your breakfast free, too?
Well, I tried that a couple of times, but somebody always comes along and sticks a fork in me to see if I'm done. Well, watch that budget, Fibber. Remember, the close-fisted guy of today is the open-handed guy of tomorrow. So long, pal.
Old Rockefeller Wilcox. Boy, does he budget. He saved so many pennies, the government buys up his old pockets for Indian reservations. Uh-oh, here's a stationery store.
What can I do for you, fly trap?
Oh, hi, Boomer. You working here?
Yes, having a special sale today on asbestos diaries for Red Hot Mamas.
Oh, I don't know any Red Hot Mamas, Boomer. All I know is smolder women.
Smolder women. That's very good, very good. A little far-fetched, but you never were any judge of distance.
Listen, Boomer, you got any ledgers in here? I'm going to start a budget.
Is that so? Fine thing, budget. Tried once myself, but I had trouble with my incidentals. Got them confused with the et ceteras and the miscellaneous. Well, what's the budget for, Pinchfolk? Business, household, or personal?
All three. If business ain't better in our household, my wife's going to get personal.
Ah, I see. How did I put those budget books? I have them right here somewhere. Let me look on these shelves. Interesting lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Budgets, budgets, budgets. Here's a bottle of invisible ink for feminine correspondence. Nothing a girl cherishes like an old faded love letter. Roll of blotting paper. Ever make a study of blotting paper? Very absorbing.
Now, come on. Come on, let's see a budget.
Oh, yes, certainly, certainly. Must have one here someplace. Let's see now. Here's some gold points for fountain pens. Knobby little nibs, aren't they? I'll take a handful. Might want to have a tooth filled. What's this? Package of paper. Wonder how it got so dirty.
That's carbon paper.
Oh, so it is. So it is. Thought for a minute it was brunette stationery for blackmailing. Here's an old computing machine. Might use that in your broadcast to add your nibs. Well, well, imagine this. I found the budget book. Very good one, too. Yours for only $3.
Okay, here you are. Don't wrap it up. I gotta be going, Boomer.
Yes, well, so have I. Here comes the owner. It might be a trifle embarrassing to explain what I'm doing behind this counter.
Hey! Can you imagine that? And I thought he was working in there. The crook. Let's see what's in this budget book anyway. Husband's clothing per year, $1,200. Say, that's great. I ought to get a nice outfit for that.
Say, buddy, can you spare a dime for a cup of coffee?
Wait till I look at my budget, bud. Oh, yeah, charities per year, $350. Well, might as well clear that up for the year. Here's $100, bud. I'll meet you here tomorrow noon and give you the other $250.
All right, but don't keep me waiting. I'm going to the races.
Okay, bud. Now, let's see. Wife's clothing per year, $1,500. Boy, won't Molly be happy at that? This is a wonderful book. Gee, I never thought we could do it.
Well, how do you do, Mr. McGee? Oh, it's so nice to see you.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Uppington. Where are you going in such a hurry?
Oh, I must get down to the caterer's, Miss McGee. You see, I'm giving a tea, and I must get some advice about the hors d'oeuvre.
Oh.
Why, do you know the anchovies I bought simply refused to respond to the curling iron?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Curling the anchovies, eh? Some stuff. How do you get the toothpicks into the little sausages, Uppy? With a bow and arrow?
Oh, now, Mr. McGee, I'm afraid you're twitting me, really.
I twitted myself with that one.
Oh, and that reminds me, I'm so glad Mrs. McGee has returned. Do tell her to come to my tea on Wednesday. Just a simple homey affair. Only 60 or 70 people invited, you know.
Oh, that sounds very chummy. Are you holding it, at home or in the ale bowl?
Oh, very amusing. The ale bowl.
Yes, that is. I can just see some old mug in a frock coat plunging around your left end with a piece of cake. Well, I'll tell Molly, Uppy, and much obliged. She'll be glad to get a free meal now on account of we're on a budget.
Oh, really? How fascinating. Yeah. Oh, I've been through that budgeting nuisance myself, you know. Even now, I often say to myself, Abigail, you naughty girl. Not another string of pearls until next week. Well, it's so nice to have seen you again, Mr. McGee. Good day.
Not another string of pearls till next week. Wonder if she realizes how many oysters she's thrown out of work. I'll see this budget book again. Allowance for...
Hello, Pepper. Started your budget yet?
I just got the book, Billy. You see? And we're going to come out a lot better than we thought.
Oh, that's swell.
Yeah, for instance, according to this book, we can spend $3,600 a year for groceries. And our grocery bill has never been over $700 or $800 before. That's quite a saving, ain't it?
Yes, you ought to finish the year with a mighty nice little deficit.
I'll say so. And believe me, we ain't going to touch that deficit except in case of emergency.
Where are you going now?
Shopping. I'm going to buy our clothes for the whole year now and get it over with. See? This budget allows me $1,200 and Molly $1,500. That's more clothes than we ever had in our lives. That's wonderful, ain't it? And if it hadn't been for this little budget book, we'd have never been able to have done it.
Well, can't you wait a minute? Hear the four notes sing the Y and War Chant?
No, I can't, Billy, but I got a lot of shopping to do, you know. But you go ahead and play it. Folks, the four notes singing the Hawaiian War Chant. Take it, kids.
There is an island in the blue Pacific. Those who have seen it say it is terrific. When the natives walk along, you can hear them sing a song. First you wiggle, then you stop your foot and glide away. Then you clap your hands and wiggle as you slide away. Add a little hula to a wicky wacky. That's how Hawaiians go to war.
Will Molly be tickled? $1,500 worth of clothes. Boy, I hope she likes her hat. Oh, hello there, little girl.
Hi, mister.
Well, move your tricycle and let me by, will you? I gotta get into the house. You live around here?
Sure I do, I betcha.
Where? I says, where? Where do you live?
With my mama.
Well, where does your mama live?
With Papa. We all live there.
Where?
Hmm?
I said... Oh, shucks. We're right back where we started.
Oh, have we been someplace?
No, we ain't.
Well, then how can we be back?
That you could... Oh, forget it. What's your name, little girl?
Teeny.
Teeny? Well, that's a cute name.
Sure it is, I betcha.
Don't you live in that house on the corner?
Oh, you mean the brown one with the brick porch?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
Say, mister, you know what?
No, what?
Hmm?
I says what?
Did you see my pop at the playground last night?
No, I didn't. What was your father doing at a kid's playground at night?
Well, I bet you he was there, I bet you.
Huh?
He said so on the telephone this morning.
He did?
Yeah. He said, boy, we sure were swinging last night, weren't we, Charlie?
Where'd you say you live, little girl?
Right over there.
Oh, in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then you're the little girl whose mama is... Say, I got some news for you, little girl. I met somebody downtown, and they told me you just got a new little baby sister.
Anna?
Yes, sir. Ain't that great?
Oh, that's dandy, I bet you.
Yeah.
I guess I gotta go now. Give me a push, will you, mister?
Sure. Where are you going?
I'm going down to the hospital and tell Mama. Gee, will she be surprised? Goodbye, mister.
That her mom will be surprised, all right. But I never knew a surprise party yet that the host didn't know about long beforehand. Hey, where'd I put that budget book now? Hey, Molly, I done it. I got the budget book. And that ain't all.
What?
I done all our shopping for the whole year. Boy, is that a wonderful budget.
What?
$1,500 for your clothes,
yes.
$1,200 for my clothes, charity $346.
Hold it, McGee. Hold it. Calm down. Heavenly day.
Yeah, but look, Molly, look at this budget. It's marvelous.
Quiet, Eagernuts. There's something funny here. Let me see that book.
Okay, here. You see where it says about the charity?
McGee.
Huh?
This budget is for an income of $20,000.
Why, sure. What? It is? You mean I got to make $20,000 this year to pay for all? Oh, well, what's the difference? I can handle it. I got the whole world ahead of me.
Oh, you have you?
Yeah.
That isn't the world in front of you, dearie.
What you mean?
You're behind the eight ball.
Oh, so.
In just a moment. And now, I want to ask a question. Haven't you noticed that at this time of year, everything in the house seems to be badly in need of a spring tonic? Floors, furniture, and woodwork are just waiting for a gleaming coat of Johnson's Wax to make them beautiful as new again. Well, right now is the time to buy Johnson's Wax and Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, too. By acting at once, you can get giant-sized cans of both wax and glow coat at the same price you usually pay for a pint or a pound. These giant cans contain a pint and one-third, or a pound and one-third, at no extra cost. You'll save money by taking advantage of this special sale of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. Don't delay, for when these giant-sized cans are gone, there won't be any more. Ask tomorrow morning without fail for Johnson's giant-sized cans at your hardware, grocery, paint, drug, or department store.
Yes?
Are you still... I mean, am I... do you forgive me for making a mistake and buying all that there silly stuff?
Oh, sure. We all make mistakes, dearie. But now, after this, don't be so extravagant.
Well, I guess I have been at that.
Yes.
Matter of fact, that ain't all.
What?
I got into a pretty stiff poker game the other night, too.
Oh, why, that's terrible.
I won $13.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Thank you.
Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Johnson Wax Program. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly, with Donald Novis, the Four Notes, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Rise and Shine. Every few years, a new labor-saving product is introduced on the market. The washing machine, the vacuum cleaner, soap chips, ready-mix flours, and then Glow Coat, the labor-saving, no-rubbing polish for floors. Now the makers of Johnson's Wax announce a new labor-saving product that has been badly needed. A polish for automobiles that does a double job. Its name is Johnson's Car New, spelled C-A-R-N-U. Johnson's Car New does two things at once. Both cleans and wax polishes your car in one simple, easy operation. Doesn't that sound like an improvement over the old-fashioned cleaning and waxing job? Well, it certainly is. Because Johnson's Car New saves you both time and hard work. This new double-duty polish is a liquid that goes on quickly, dries to a powder, and comes off quickly, leaving your car with a lustrous wax sheen. Surely it's worth an hour of your time to give your family the thrill of having a new-looking car to ride in. So get a can of Johnson's Car New today at your filling station, garage, auto supply store, or your regular wax dealer. Do the double job of cleaning and waxing in one easy operation. And you'll say with thousands of other car owners, your car looks like new when you use Car New. There's a spring clearance sale of hats at the Bon Ton department store. So Molly has left Fibber to finish his breakfast alone. And here in the living room at 79 Wistful Vista, with the morning paper in his left hand and a saucer of coffee in his right, we find the, quote, master, unquote, of 79 Wistful Vista, Fibber McGee.
United States cruisers Quincy, San Francisco, and Tuscaloosa arrive in South America on Goodwill Tour. I wonder why they always send battleships on a Goodwill Tour. It's like sending Boris Karloff to deliver your Valentine. Come in.
Is this the resident? The resident? Is this the resident? Is this the resident? Does Fibber McGee live here?
You betcha, bud. I'm Fibber McGee.
Okay, here's a cablegram. Here's a cablegram. Here's a wire for your wife.
Oh, a wire for Molly, huh? Wonder who this is from.
Search me. I never see the interior. All I see is the outside.
Oh. Where do I sign, bud? Right here?
No, on the fourth line from the bottom. The fourth line from the bottom. On the fourth line from the... Oh, sign it any place.
Okay, bud. How do you like working as a telegraph messenger, bud?
Oh, it's quite congenial. It's quite congenial. It's not bad. The hardest part of it is when they ask me to sing a birthday greeting over the telephone. Boy, is that tough.
That guy ought to be good at singing sentimental messages over the phone. He's got a nice catch in his throat. I wonder if I ought to open up this telegram. Hope that ain't that messenger again. I was hoping he wouldn't notice I didn't give him a tip. Come in.
Hello, Mr. McGee. Me bring him back laundry. Mongo hullet, ongo hullet. $2, 43 cents, please.
Okay, Gooey Fooey, here you are.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much.
By the way, Gooey Fooey, what do you do with all the money you make?
I should very expensive for keeping the son in the college.
Oh, I see.
But not much longer. Our son, he graduated from Colgate in June.
Oh, is that so? Graduates from Colgate, eh? That's fine. Did he make any of the teams?
He tried really hard for making football, basketball, track team, and lowing on clues.
Lowing on clues. Oh, you mean rowing on the crew.
Yeah.
Didn't he make any of them, Gooey?
Oh, no, he studied too hard, you see. Huh. All the muscles in the brains, no brains in the muscles.
No, that's tough. Too bad, though, he couldn't win his letter after 4 years at Colgate.
That's what he said, too.
That's all.
Yeah, he said, ha, 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 long time, no see. Goodbye now. Come on.
Takes a guy with a happy faculty of winning football games to make the faculty happy. Don't you get it, Molly? I said, oh, she ain't here, is she? Dad, rat it, if every knock's a boost, I ought to be higher than a kite. Oh, hi, little girl.
Hi, mister.
What's on your mind?
Hmm?
I says, what's on your mind? What do you want?
Will you please tell me a story? Will you please,
Oh, go on, sister. I ain't got time to tell you a story. Why don't you go on home and ask your mama to tell you a story?
Well, you got more of them, I bet you.
Oh, yeah? What gave you that idea?
Well, gee, my mom said you're the biggest storyteller she ever knew.
She did, eh? I says, what's the... I mean, she don't... All right, I'll tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was three bears.
Mm-hmm. I bet you've heard that one, I bet
you. Oh, you have, eh? Well, you just wait till I get to the part where Goldilocks comes in. That's the love interest. Bear meets girl. Once upon a time, there were three bears, and their names was Winkin, Blinkin, and Nod.
That's that old Hollywood stuff, I bet you.
That rat, quit interrupting me, will you? What's Winkin and Blinkin and Nod got to do with Hollywood anyhow?
Well, I asked my papa who Wink and Blink and a Nod were, and he said it was two producers and a yes man.
Ah, dear. Well, we don't seem to be getting any place, sis.
Sure.
Huh?
Hmm?
If you know so much more about my stories than I do, go on out and sit on the porch and tell yourself one.
I bet you I can, I bet you.
You can't tell yourself a story?
No, I can't sit down.
Why not?
Hmm?
I says, why can't you sit down?
I got spanked.
Oh. Well, that's the best news I've heard. Who spanked you and what for?
My papa. Because I got bad marks in spelling, I bet you.
Oh, you did, huh?
Sure. My papa promised me a bicycle if I got good marks in spelling, but gee, am I lousy.
You shouldn't have known how to talk like that, sis. Besides, if your papa promised you a bicycle, you should have studied harder.
I couldn't. I've been too busy.
Busy doing what?
Learning to ride a bicycle. What's wrong, mister?
Just thinking of.
Singing The Way You Look Tonight. And Don, the way you sung tonight was swell.
Oh, it certainly was, Mr. Novus. I'm glad I got home in time to hear it. I've been downtown buying a new hat.
Gee, the one you have on, Molly? It's beautiful.
Hey, I think so too, Molly. That's what I call a hat. Makes you look 10 years younger.
20 years.
30 years.
Who'll make it 40?
40!
Sold! 40 years younger to the gentleman in the blue shirt. Does anyone want to carry me piggyback?
No fooling, Molly. That's the best-looking hat you've had in years.
Well, I'm glad you think so. It's the only hat I've had in years.
What you mean?
Well, this is the old one.
Uh-oh.
Well, Molly, you're one of those girls who just has a knack of wearing clothes.
Oh, now, go on.
I wish you'd teach Fibber the secret. His pants are so baggy at the knees, he always looks like he's on his way home from a craft game. Well, see you later, folks.
My, he's a nice boy, isn't he, McGee?
Oh, yeah, in a crude sort of way, yeah. Oh, by the way, Molly, here's a cablegram for you.
A cablegram? Well,
yeah.
For goodness sake, I wonder who this is from.
I don't know.
Well, heavenly days. It's from the Netherlands, from Rotterdam.
Hey, that's no place to write to a lady from. Who sent it?
Mort, too. Remember, he's on a world cruise.
Oh, yeah, Mort. Probably about that talking parrot I asked him to pick up for me. What's he say about it, Molly?
Well, he says, regret unable to find you talking parrot. Stop. However, oh, hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hello.
Why, what's the matter?
Geez, you look kind of upset about something, Harpo.
Oh, I am. I'm terribly worried.
Oh, don't you feel well?
Oh, I feel all right, but did you see last Sunday's paper?
Why, yes. What about it?
Well, did you read Tarzan? They've got him in a terrible spot.
Take it to heart, Mr. Wilcox. He'll come out all right.
Yeah, don't get yourself in a lather. You don't have to worry about Tarzan.
Well, it's the same. I can hardly wait until next Sunday.
Is that all that's worrying you, Harpo?
No. I'm afraid the Johnson Wax people aren't going to need me much longer.
Oh, what on earth gave you that idea?
Well, gee, it certainly is discouraging when I walk up to a car owner and I say, brother, have you heard about Carnew, that wonderful new auto polish that the Johnson Company has just introduced? And that's as far as I get.
Oh.
You mean they don't want to hear about it?
That's just it. Everybody has heard about it. They say, yes, it's marvelous. We just apply it over the clean surface of our car and let it dry and wipe it off. And with hardly any effort, our old jalopy looks just like it came off the sales room floor. So can you blame me for worrying? Gee, with everybody that uses Carnew turning out to be a salesman for it, where does that leave me?
Oh, wait a minute. Don't be so jittery, Harpo. Calm down.
Why, sure.
What would Tarzan do in a case like this? He wouldn't give up.
No, of course not. He'd just climb up in a tree and beat on his chest and defy the world.
Sure.
By George, you're right. I won't give up.
No.
I'll find somebody that hasn't heard about Carnew. You
betcha. Gets over that Tarzan complex by next winter.
why, McGee.
Well, I suppose he has to stop and polish a car someplace, and he ain't got nothing on but a loincloth.
Oh.
Better read the rest of the telegram, the cablegram, Molly.
Oh, yes. Regret unable to find you talking parrot.
Yeah.
Stop. However, knowing you love birds, have sent you beautiful stork.
Stork?
Stop. Should be there by time you get this. Stop. Regards. Signed, Toops.
Oh,
well, heavenly days, a stork.
That's a fine substitute for a parrot. A stork. I suppose if we'd wanted a bald eagle, he'd have shaved an ostrich for us. Stork.
Well, I suppose we'll have to take it, McGee. Call up the freight depot and see if it's here yet.
Okay, but I don't get the idea, Morrison.
Hello, Fisher. Hello, Cupie. I hope I'm not butting myself in what I'm not wanting.
Certainly not, Mr. DePopulos. McGee was just going to call the freight depot.
Yeah, a guy was going to send us a parrot, but he...
Oh, parrots is being a wonderful bird, I'm thinking. It is a constant horse of amusement to me how birds is learning to talk like people. There's talking parrots, Florence nightingales, stool pigeons.
We didn't get a parrot, Nick. The guy sent us...
You know, it's a funny coincidence that I'm reading about a parrot in a book just last night, which the name of it is calling itself by the title of a man whose name was Robin Hood Crusoe.
Oh, you mean Robinson Crusoe, Mr. DePopulos.
Oh, I stand connected. Anyway, these stories is being all about a sailor who is being marined on a desert island. He's a regular castaway.
Castaway.
Sure. Well, sir, this Robinson Crusoe is having almost hardly nothing to do with anything except this parrot and a cannonball, which he is life-saving from some other cannonballs, who is inviting him for lunch, and he was going to be the lunch.
Not cannonballs, Mr. DePopulos. Cannibals.
Oh, what is the difference? They're both a son of a gun to be monkeying with, I'm thinking. Anyway, Robin Hood is naming the savages My Man Godfrey.
His man Friday.
All right, but send him back Saturday because I haven't finished the book. Anyway, these parrots, which is being kind of a chicken in technicolor, is able to hold very intelligent conversation, which is just going to prove that parrots is different from people like you, Fisher, because they're laying an egg before they're learning to talk. What I'm stopping in to have you see me about is that we're having a little party at our house tonight.
Oh,
but it's going to be pretty crowded, so why don't you go to a good movie?
Molly, do you believe in the hereafter?
Quite certain.
Well, hereafter, when that guy comes over, don't open the door.
Oh, Mr. DePopulos is all right, McGee. Now get busy and telephone the freight people.
All right, hand me the...
Oh, dear. Come in. Oh, it's Mrs. Uppington. How do you do, Mrs. Uppington?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee and Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy.
I just thought I'd stop in, Mrs. McGee, to see your new hat. You did just buy a new hat at the Bomb Town, did you not?
Why, yes, I did, Mrs. Uppington. But it hasn't been delivered yet. Did you see me at the Bomb Town?
Oh, my, no, no, no. But my maid did. She says it's a wonderful place to buy hats. So economical, you know.
Oh, is that so, Mrs. Uppington? My, it must be wonderful to have your maids buy your hats for you. Personally, I like to select me own.
Oh, my dear, you don't understand. My maid buys all of her own hats there. I, of course, get mine directly from Paris.
Ah, you poor thing. How terrible. No wonder they're all out of style by the time you get them.
Molly's round.
But really, Mrs. McGee, they're not, you know. My couturier assures me that my hats are in the latest mode. Original Parisian styling, of course.
Oh, of course, Mrs. Uppington. McGee, remember what I said about that last hat of Mrs. Uppington's?
Huh?
Didn't I say at the time it looked real French to me?
Oh, well, that ain't exactly the way you put it, Molly. You said, get a load of the lid on Snooty Puss. It looks like the Eiffel Tower.
You see, Mrs. Uppington?
Yes. I'm so glad you liked them, my dear. After this, I shall send them over to you when I'm through with them, rather than throw them out with the rubbish.
Ah, well, that's so sweet of you, Mrs. Uppington. But I couldn't think of accepting them without making some precipitation. Now, I tell you, you must let us send our rubbish over to you.
Well, that's quite unnecessary, I assure you.
Oh, but I insist, Mrs. Uppington.
It's too much, really.
Oh, not at all.
But, my dear.
Oh, but I insist. Must you be going, Mrs. Uppington, so soon?
Yes, I, well, really, I, well, yes, I must be going. Goodbye.
Molly, you and Uppington make the golden gloves look like a pair of lead mittens. Well, hand me the phone, Molly. I'll call and see if that long-legged Yankee clipper has arrived yet. Hello, operator. Connect me with the freight depot. Oh, is that too much?
That is. And to think that Alexander Graham Bell spent his life for something like this. I think I'll write Don Amici a nasty letter.
Quiet, Molly. How's everything, Mert? It is, eh? What? He is? They did? He will? Oh, that's too bad, Mert. How old is your grandfather? Huh? Oh, well, it's about time, isn't it? Now, let me get this straight, Mert. They took a bullet out of his what?
Oh!
Is that so?
Oh, heavenly days. Did Mert's grandfather get shot?
Yeah.
Where?
Gettysburg. Yeah. Say, Mert, connect me with the railroad freight office, will you? Oh, hello, freight office? You got a stork there for Fibber McGee? Huh? Due in on the 224, eh? Gee, it's 215 now. Okay, bud, we'll be right down. Come on, Molly, we gotta meet the 224.
All right, dearie. Play something, Mr. Mills.
We meet, and the angels sing. The angels sing the sweetest song I ever heard. You and the angels sing, sing, or am I breathing music into every word? Suddenly, the setting is strange. I can see water and moonlight beaming. Silver waves break on some undiscovered shore. Then, suddenly, I see it change. Long winter nights with the candles gleaming. Through it all, your face that I adore, you smile and the angels sing. And though it's just a gentle murmur at the start, we kiss and the angels sing, 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 and leave their music ringing in my heart, my heart. I can see water and moonlight beaming, silver waves break on some undiscovered shore, 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 shore. Suddenly I see it all change, long winter nights with the candles gleaming, through it all your face that I adore, adore. You smile, the angels sing, and though it's just a gentle murmur at the start, we kiss and the angels sing. And leave their music ringing in my heart.
That was the four notes, singing and the angels sing, accompanied by Billy Mills and his pearly gates. Now, you ready, Molly?
All set, McGee. Is there enough gas in the car?
Oh, plenty. I put 2 gallons in Sunday. Wait till I see that more troops.
Ah, there, Stuart Faye.
Oh, hi, Boomer.
Good day, Mrs. McGee. I have a little punch board here. Thought you might take a chance on a candid camera. Only 10 cents a punch. Very cheap, too. But to be candid, so is the camera.
No, thanks, Boomer. Not today.
Oh, go on, McGee. It'd be nice to have a camera. Let's see the punch board, Mr. Boomer.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. Have it right here somewhere. Now, where I put that punch board... Punch board, punch board.
All right, come on, Boomer. We're in a hurry.
Oh, don't get in an uproar, Puzzle Pan. Have it right here somewhere. Now, where I put that punch board? Here's a letter from my son, Horatio Jr., inviting me to attend the commencement exercises. Clever lad, went through reform school in 3.5 years. Extra credits for pocket picking. Ah, what's this? Well, well, a bitter note from the finance company. Disagreeable people, bunch of back receipt drivers. I hear a little mechanical device for holding out aces in a poker game. Ah, yes. Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
Hurry up with the punch board, Mr. Boomer. We've got to get down to the railroad station.
Just as soon as I put in my upper plate. Let's see, where did I put that punch board? Here's a photograph of my little sister, bless her heart. Quite a tomboy. Loves to get into slacks and breeches of promise. Small packet of arsenic. Going to play a joke on an old friend of mine. Yes, indeed, this will have him in convulsions. And a check for a short beer. Well, well, imagine that. No punch board. Wonder what I could have done with it. Well, I'll see you about it later, my dear. Good day, Adel Pate.
Good day, Mr. Boomer.
Too bad that guy can't go straight. His mother must have been frightened by a spiral staircase. Now, come on, hop in the car, Molly.
You'll have to step on it a little, McGee, if we're going to meet the 224 now.
Okay, here we go. Pick up, will you? That's something for you. Car, down the end of the block.
Oh, better slow down a little, McGee. We're not in that much of a hurry.
Well, I don't want to lose track of that stork, Molly. Somebody might mistake him for a crane and put him to work loading freight cars. And don't you get it, Molly?
No, I don't get it, but you're going to.
What you mean?
Here comes a motor car.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
All right, you pull over!
Let's get them brakes fixed. If you look in the book, officer, you'll find the first question is, where do you think you're going, to a fire?
A fresh guy, huh? This will cost you plenty, buddy. Disorderly conduct, speeding, and going through a stoplight.
We did not go through a stoplight. That light had turned green.
Sure. So did I when I saw how fast you were going. Now follow me to the police station.
Just a minute, officer. May I have a word with you?
Well, what is it, lady? Yeah? Yeah? All right, lady. Come on, buddy, follow me.
Okay. Hey, what is this, Molly? This ain't the way to the police station.
We're not going to the police station. We're going to the railroad station.
What? At 50 miles an hour with
sure.
an escort?
Sure.
Hey, what did you tell that cop?
Why, I just told him the truth, dearie. I told him we were expecting the storm.
Molly will be back in just a moment. And now, may we have your attention. When you go into a home that has beautiful, gleaming floors, you feel genuine admiration for the woman who lives in that home. A glossy, polished floor is always a sign of good taste. Now, there's no reason why you shouldn't have floors that are so bright and clean that everyone will admire them. Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat will quickly give your floors a wonderful, lustrous polish without rubbing or buffing. Just apply and let dry. Glow Coat makes linoleum sparkle like new in a few minutes' time. And did you know that Glow Coat is just as important for porch floors as for the floors in your home? Well, it is. Glow Coat shuts out dirt and grime, saves you hours of cleaning work. You'll enjoy your porch much more when the floors stay clean and bright with shining Glow Coat polish. Glow Coat is spelled GLO-COAT. Johnson Self-Polishing Glow Coat. Insist on the real thing for brighter luster, longer wear.
Well, now that we've got a stork, McGee, what on earth are we going to do with it?
Well, I'm going to keep it till a week from Thursday and then present it to the Wistful Vista Zoo.
Well, why don't you give it to them today? Why wait till a week from Thursday?
Oh, I don't know. Just habit, I guess. I always like to get the big bills out of the way by the first of the month. Good night.
Good night, all.
May we suggest that when you visit the New World's Fair, you'll be sure to see the 15 beautiful model homes in the town of tomorrow. On all the floors and woodwork of these homes, Johnson's wax polishes are used exclusively. This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat at Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
The Way You Look Tonight is by Jerome Kern. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast.
If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing. And as always, peace.